afternoon and start. So I guess we're just going to start, inshallah, if everybody's ready. Again, forgive me for that interruption. I had to take that call. I apologize about that. Okay, so we were talking about al-qada al-qadr, and we said that we were going to refer to them by their English equivalents from here on forward. And so we're talking today about the divine decision and the divine decree. And there is, again, as I said, there's an article that will be forthcoming, inshallah, this weekend that you all can refer to. I strongly recommend that you read it, and maybe if time permits, I'll be able to make a small quiz for you that I can post, inshallah, on the website, or maybe ask you some questions next week. When we start, we want to define the two terms. So we're trying to understand what is the divine decision, al-qada, and what is the divine decree, al-qadr. Okay? Now, this is a very, very critical point that we have to understand here when we begin this lecture. Okay? If someone misses this point, then much of the rest of the lecture will somewhat be confusing for them. Okay? What we're talking about here, okay, when we say the divine decision and the divine decree, al-qada wal-qadr, inshallah, I will speak slower, inshallah. These two points, or the points I'm about to make, are the foundation of this understanding, okay? Wa yakum, inshallah. Al-qada wal-qadr, again, meaning the divine decision and the divine decree. You all with me so far, right? When they are mentioned separately, okay, I'm going to be real slow on this because I want everybody to follow me and make sure everybody understands. If one of these terms is mentioned separately, okay, so if one person wants to say the divine decision, or al-qada, or someone wants to say the divine decree, al-qadr, if you mention them separately, then they incorporate both meanings. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? So if I say al-qadr, or the divine decree alone, then this incorporates the meaning of both the decision and the decree, and vice versa. Okay, vice versa. In other words, if I just say the divine decision by itself, what is the meaning has to be understood as incorporating both of them or one of them. Okay? Is anybody confused on this point? Please don't be shy. We got all the time that we need, inshallah, to get through this. Is anybody confused on this point? Is anybody listening? So, okay. One more time. Okay. We'll say one more time. When mentioned alone, they incorporate the meaning of both. Okay? When mentioned alone, they incorporate the meaning of both. But when they are mentioned together, then they have a separate meaning. Alright? So when we say al-qada wal-qadr, we are referring to the divine decision and the divine decree. We're mentioning both of them together, and so each one of them has a very separate and very specific definition. Okay? So when we say al-qada by itself, the decision, this refers to the decision of Allah concerning a specific matter, and this is what is revealed to the angels. Okay? So al-qada, the divine decision, means the decision of Allah concerning any specific matter, and this matter, this decision of Allah, is revealed to the angels. But when we're talking about al-qadr, or the decree, we're talking about when the predestined matter occurs as is recorded in the preserved tablets, and the knowledge of this matter is only with Allah. If we put it another way, when we're mentioning together these two terms, al-qada is subject to change, the decision is subject to change at Allah's discretion, whereas the decree is that which is maintained in the preserved tablet, and it will never change. That's a lot of information, although it's a very short statement. Are we all together? Please, if anyone is confused or if anybody wants further explanation, now is the time. Let's get this point clear, because as I said, everything that we're going to follow after this is built on this. Okay, Michelle. We're talking about, you know, this matter here, the divine decision and the divine decree, okay? These are matters, you know, we're talking about predestination, as many people call it, fate, destiny. These are some of the different terms which are correctly and incorrectly used, okay? When we're talking about when Allah has decided something for the individual, for every human being, there are two types of predestination here, okay? One of them is called al-qadr. This is called a divine decree in English. The divine decree is that which God, Allah Azza wa Jal, He wrote it down in the preserved tablet with Him, as is stated in the hadith of the Prophet, that the first thing that Allah created was the pen. And He told the pen to write, and when the pen asked, "What shall I write?" He said, "Write everything that will be." And so 50,000 years before the creation of this universe, Allah had already written down everything that would happen from the beginning of creation until the day of judgment. Okay? So this is what is recorded in the preserved tablet. This is the decree, and this will not change. Now, there is another term which is often used that goes for good or bad, big or small. It's all there. Everything is there. Everything is recorded in this book, as Allah has stated in the Quran, that everything is there. Okay? Now, when we're talking about the decision, the divine decision of Allah, okay, this is something which is separate. Okay? The decree, that which is written in the preserved tablet, that which will not change, the knowledge of this is only with Allah. No human being knows it, no angel knows it, no jinn knows it, nobody knows it. Only Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the knowledge of this matter. But, of course, Allah sends the angels with tasks. And this is His decision, which is known as Al-Qadha. Okay? We all together? Now, concerning the qada here, okay, this is when Allah reveals a decision of His, okay, to the angels. For example, He says, "I have decided that." Let's pick. I'm going to pick one of you. I'm going to pick Amir, okay? Amir will receive a certain amount of. Alaykum as-salam wa Allah. Amir is going to receive $50 check in the mail. Okay? So you follow? So this is Allah's decision. Allah has decided to bestow, to provide for Amir $50, and it's going to be coming to him as a check in the mail. Now, Amir, who doesn't know about Allah's decision, okay, he's always seeking to become closer to Allah, and he loves Allah, and he loves to worship Allah. So what does he do? He is always trying to join the ties of kinship, in other words, be good to his family. He tries to increase in his worship to Allah, and these matters. And Amr, because he studies the deen well, he knows that these matters are also the cause for an increase in his provision. So Allah looks upon Amir, and He sees all the good he's doing, and he sees how he was very kind to his family and to his parents, and that he was serving them kindly. So Allah changes his decision, changes the qada. Why? Because of the goodness that he was doing to his family in this case, or the good worship that he did. And so instead of it being $50, Allah decrees for him, or in this case, as again, we're saying decides for him, I guess would be more appropriate, what we're saying, decides that there was going to be an increase. And so instead of getting $50, he may get $100. So everybody follow that example? All right, so this is the decision. Now, in the decree, okay, so how is this going to be different now from the decree, right? Who can tell me? Who can tell me why or where is the difference now between what I just mentioned concerning al-qada in this matter and that which is al-qadr? Okay, good, Sakina. The decree never changes. But we just mentioned how Allah made a decision and it was changed. Okay, how does this all relate to al-qadr or the decree? Okay, Amr, you got it right, okay? Look what he wrote down. It was already written in the decree that Allah was going to do this. And so, if we look back now, if we had the opportunity to look in this example at the preserved tablet, we're going to see that Allah had written down that he would make a decision to provide Amr with $50. And that Amr, out of his love for Allah and love for the deen and trying to be good worshiper, he was trying to join the ties of kinship and being good to his family or increasing in his worship. So that was written there. And so it's also written then that Allah will change his decision, okay, and will provide an increase in the provision to Amr. So all of this is written in the decree. Exactly, Michelle. You got it perfectly right. Is that this is something that we did not know. This is, again, part of something that we wouldn't know, but the angels would have known. The angels would have known that Allah changed his decision because of the goodness of his servant. So everybody understands this now, or are we all on the same page? Yes, correct, Michelle. The dua, nothing changes the decree, whether it be dua or worship or anything else. The decree of Allah itself does not change. Only Allah's decision can change. The decree is that which is written in the preserved tablet. That was just written before any of us were created. And this is what No. Now, again, we're talking about the decree. Now, the decree is that which Allah has in His book. Whereas, the decision, this is very much affected by the du'a. Okay? And so, this is where we see, for example, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is mentioned in Musnad of Ahmad, where the Prophet ﷺ says, وَلَا يَرَدُّ, لا يرد القضاء, I'm sorry, لَا يَرَدُّ الْقَدَرِ إِلَّا بِدُعَاءِ. Okay? That only du'a can change al-qadr, or only du'a can change the decree. Now, I just explained to you the decree cannot change. Now, am I incorrect in what I've just said? Because I just quoted to you a hadith, which is sahih, which says that only the du'a can change the decree. Who can explain to me? That's true. Allah knows we will make the du'a even before we make it. Correct? That is true. But here Allah is saying that the only thing that can change, in this hadith specifically, the only thing that can change the decree, al-qadr, as it's mentioned in the hadith, is du'a. And I just told you that al-qadr, the decree, cannot change. And the hadith says the only thing that can change the decree is du'a. So I want you to think back. Yes, the du'a is the du'a is in the qadr of Allah. Okay? Amr says the du'a changes the qadr. The hadith says that it changes the qadr. So explain that. Amr, you're on the right track. This goes back to what we first said, again, the very foundation. Exactly. In this hadith, because al-qadr is mentioned alone, it encompasses both of the meanings here. And so what is being referred to here is the understanding of the decision. Okay? Al-qadr itself, if we're referring to al-qada or al-qadr, if we're looking at them separately here, okay? Looking at their individual definitions, al-qada never changes. Nothing changes. Whether du'a, whether worship, nothing will change al-qadr. Okay, nothing changes the decree. Okay, so if the Prophet ﷺ had said in the hadith, وَلَا يَرَدُّ الْقَضَاءُ وَالْقَدَرُ إِلَّا بِدُعَاءِ, then this would be a problem. Okay, if the Prophet would have said, and nothing changes the decision and decree except for du'a, then I'm not telling you the truth here. I would be mistaken and confused. But see, this is why I said it's so essential that we understand the very first point. When we're mentioning these words separately, if you find one of these words, the decision or the decree, recorded in the hadith by itself, okay, it can take on either meaning, okay? But when you find them together, they're going to take on, you know, each one will have its separate meaning. And so this hadith, when it says that the decree cannot be changed except by du'a, we're talking here about what we understand to be the decision. Okay? Is anybody confused on this point? No problem, alhamdulillah, no problem. Again, we go back to the very foundation. The foundation of this whole understanding is that when we mention the two words together, each one of them has a separate meaning. Okay? So if I say to you, we're going to study today the decision and the decree. Okay? You understand when I say the divine decision that we're talking about al-qada, and we're talking about that Allah decides the matter and He reveals this decision to His angels, and that this decision is subject to change because of different things, which we'll get into and mention them. Now, if we're talking only about, and then if we look again to the divine decree, and that is referring to that which is written in the preserved tablet, written before the creation, and will never change. And this is the knowledge of which is only with Allah. Okay? Everybody with me? So far, so good? So this is when we mention them together, as the divine decision and the divine decree, together in the same sentence. Then we understand that they have separate meaning. Iman, I'll get to that question in just one second. Has everybody followed what I just said before that, though? Okay. Now, when we mention them individually, so if you look in a hadith, or you look anywhere, and you see the words, divine decision, by itself, like we have in this hadith, but nothing changes the divine decision, or I'm sorry, the divine decree, except dua. Or if you look in another hadith, and it talks about the divine decision by itself. In other words, the two words are now separated. They're no longer connected in the statement or in the sentence. When you find them separately, or if someone starts a lecture and he says, today we're going to talk about the divine decree, then when they're mentioned separately, they can take on either meaning. This is the area I think where most people are getting lost. So when mentioned separately, when we just say the word divine decree, you understand the divine decree, when mentioned together with a decision, has a very specific meaning, which means that which Allah recorded in His book, He keeps the knowledge with Himself, and it is not subject to change. But when it's mentioned alone, it can also have the meaning of the decision, of al-qada. Should I repeat that? I think I will take your silence as consent that I should repeat it. Maybe I lost everybody. Is anybody confused? It's okay. I don't mind repeating it again. Maybe it would be good to do it on the whiteboard. Maybe that might. Oh, we don't understand? And Adir, that's right. In other words, Allah, all is with Allah, and only Allah can reveal, add, take away, or change. But this is, we have to understand that Allah does not change the decree. Okay, that which He kept in His book, that which is in the preserved tablets, doesn't change. And Allah does not reveal or Allah does not take away from that or add to it. Yes, the divine decision can change. That's correct. The divine decision can change. But what we needed to understand here, and this is the basic definitions here, again, when we're looking at them together, all right, the divine decision, al-qada, as Iman, this is for you, the qada, as a review, is the divine decision. And the divine decision, again, is what Allah makes a decision on a matter. This is what He reveals to the angels. So the angels know about His decisions, about His qada, and thus these things are subject to change. So He can decide something and then take it back, or He can fulfill it. This is al-qada. Al-qadr, again, we mentioned together, al-qadr, which is the divine decree, is what Allah has in His book, will never change, and He's the only one that knows about it. No one else knows about it. Is that clear, Iman? Is it clear, everybody else? Would it be helpful if I wrote it down in the messages here? Maybe my voice is not coming across as well as I think it is. So they have written it, inshallah, so we look. We see the qada is his decision, it's revealed to the angels, and it's subject to change. Al-qadr is that which is kept in the preserved tablet, the knowledge of which is revealed to no one, and it will not change. What things are subject to change? So we'll get to that. Aisha, it's an excellent question. We'll get to that, but let's just make sure everybody's on the same page. Do I need to, Hussein, you put up the board. Do you guys want me to write it on the whiteboard as well? We all still together? Okay. Michelle, do you understand it? Iman, do you understand it? Okay. Yes, but we'll get to Aisha's question. I just want to understand, make sure everybody understands where we're at. That's all. Iman, where are you confused? Okay, inshallah. I'll allow anybody who's confused at this point in time, inshallah, I'm going to continue. But inshallah, if anybody has any problem, just write it. We'll try to incorporate the answer as best we can as we go along. So now we understand the meaning of these two things. Now I want to explain to you, and this is the tricky part. Okay, please focus on this point. The tricky part here is if they're mentioned alone. If you're reading a sentence, and one of these words is mentioned by itself without the other. Again, when they're together, they're called al-qada al-qadr. This is how they're mentioned together. The divine decision and the decree. This is how they're mentioned together, usually. But if you find one of them mentioned by itself, the definitions I just gave you are not holding. It can refer to either one. That's the tricky point. Did you guys follow me there? Anybody lost at this point in time? Hopefully we're all moving as a group here and we're together in understanding this. Michelle and Iman, Abdul, do you guys follow what I'm saying? Okay, alhamdulillah. So we're all together now. So this is why, for example, now we're going to look at there's a very good hadith on the subject, Aisha, which answers your question. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned. In his hadith, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمْ الرِّزْقَ بِذَنْبِ نُصِيبُهُ وَلَا يُرَدُّ الْقَدَرُ إِلَّا الدُّعَاءُ وَلَا يَزِيدُ فِي الْعُمْرِ إِلَّا الْبِرُّ. That a man might be deprived of a provision that was written for him in the decision here again, because of a sin that he commits. And only supplication or dua changes al-qadr, the decree, and only birr or righteousness can increase the lifespan. So we're going to look at this hadith again. We're going to repeat it, okay? The Prophet ﷺ is saying that a man might be deprived of something which has been decided for him previously, or written for him as it's mentioned in the hadith, because of a sin that he commits. And nothing, inshallah, Iman, that's an excellent question. I'm going to get right to that. That's the matter we're going to decide, get into right after this hadith, because the question was asked about what changes and what's not. But this is good. So just stick with us, inshallah, on this point. That a man might be deprived of a provision that was written for him because of a sin that he commits, and nothing changes the decree except the supplication or the dua, and righteousness can change or extend the lifespan. Okay, so we all see this hadith, we all hear it, we understand it, inshallah. So this is referring to some of the things that are subject to change. Okay? Now, the point that I was trying to make earlier was, if you read this hadith in Arabic, when it talks about dua, change, or supplication, changing something, the word which is used is al-qadr. But because it is there by itself, it takes on one of the two meanings, of the two words. Okay? So here we understand that Allah, or the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, is not saying that that which is in the preserved tablet, or the mother of the book, that is not what's being referred to in this hadith. What's being referred to in this hadith is Allah's decision. Okay? So we see now that things that can change, provision, which is wealth and possession, whatnot, the lifespan, and in fact, almost anything else. Are we all together? Any confusion? Aisha, Michelle, and Iman, are you guys following, inshallah? Or did I lose you? Okay, so this is the importance of the aspect we're talking about here. So all understood, trying to summarize this point here, is the following, is that when Allah decides something, it can be changed. Some of the aspects that lead to a positive change are dua, keeping the ties of kinship, being good to your family, and performing acts of worship. These things can lead to a positive change. Some things which can lead to a negative change are the acts of disobedience, cutting the ties of kinship, this kind of things. Okay? And so there's been, and this is something which is prescribed for us in the deen. Very important point. It is prescribed for us. I will tell you now that there is a dua that some people make. Yes, Iman, inshallah, we'll get to that. Some people make a dua, oh Allah, we don't ask you to change your decision. Okay? But we ask you for such and such. Okay, so these are people who sometimes they make a dua, they say, oh Allah, we don't ask you to change the qadr. Okay, this is not, but this is, the opposite is actually prescribed for us in this deen. The opposite is prescribed. We're supposed to ask Allah to soften the decision, to be merciful to us in the decision, to change the decision. Okay? So this is something which happens, and I explain this to you further. In the hadith of al-Bukhari, in the chapter of his Sahih, in the book of the Divine Decree, there is the hadith, whoever seeks refuge with Allah from having an evil end to this worldly life and from having a bad decree, and the ayah which states, say, I seek refuge with Allah, the Lord of the Daybreak, from the evil of what He has created, which is Surah Al-Falaq, chapter 113 of the Quran. Then he quoted the words of the Prophet ﷺ saying, seek refuge with Allah from the difficulties of severe calamities, from having a bad end, and from a bad decree or decision for you. So the Prophet ﷺ is here commanding you to do that. He's saying, seek refuge in Allah from the difficulties of the severe trials, from having a bad end to your life, and from a bad decree. Okay, so this is what's prescribed for us. It's very important for us to understand that. So this is one of the bid'ahs, I guess, in this areas of innovation in this area. Okay, so if we're all good and together, okay, we're going to step forward, okay, and we're going to talk about Surah Al-Ra'd, which is Surah number 13, verse number 39. Okay, are we all ready, or anything else we can need to follow up with? When we look at the verse, okay, where Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَمْحُ اللَّهِ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. Allah blots out, or He erases, what He wills, and He confirms what He wills. This is the verse from the 13th surah, the 39th verse. So what does this mean? So we're going to approach this because this is very, very critical and very pertinent to the subject here. Mujahid, one of the followers of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the Tabi'een, he commented on the verse, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills. He said, accept life and death and faith and disbelief, for they do not change. Mansur, another one of the followers, he asked Mujahid, some of us say in our supplication, O Allah, if my name is with those who are happy, the believers, affirm my name among them. And if my name is among the miserable ones, the disbelievers, remove it from among them and place it among the happy ones. And so initially Mujahid said, this supplication is good. But then he saw him a year later, and he repeated the same question to him, and he also recited to him the verse from the Quran, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatan mubaraka," that we sent this Quran down on a blessed night, which is Laylatul Qadr. And so Mujahid commented on both the question of the du'a, the supplication, and this verse, the second verse we're mentioning here. He says, during Laylatul Qadr, the night of the decree in Ramadan, which we expect in the last 10 nights, odd nights of the Ramadan, Allah decides what provisions and disasters will occur in the next year. Okay? He puts the decision down. القضاء. He then brings forward or back whatever he wishes. In other words, he can withhold some of his decision if he pleases, and he can establish some of his decision if he pleases. If he wants, he can make something happen, or he can take it back, or he can soften it, or he can change it, so on and so forth. Okay? As for the book containing the records of the happy people, the believers, and the miserable ones, it does not change. Okay? Al-Amash, he narrated that Abu Wa'il Shaqiq bin Salama said that he used to recite this supplication often. O Allah, if you wrote us among the wretched ones, remove this status from us and write us among the blessed ones. And if you wrote us among the blessed ones, please let us stay that way, for surely you blot out and you confirm what you will, and with you is the mother of the book. And so, At-Tabari, the collector of, the Imam of Tafsir, he collected this statement. And similar statements were collected from Umar ibn Khattab and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, indicating that Allah changes and He infirms what He wills in the Book of Records. What further supports this meaning is the hadith that we mentioned earlier on the authority of Thawban, which says that a man might be deprived of provision that was written for him because of a sin that he commits, and only supplication changes the predestination, and only righteousness can increase the lifespan. And there's also a hadith recorded in the Sahih that affirms that maintaining the ties of the womb or being good to your parents increases the lifespan. Although there is a bit of best statement where he says concerning that Allah changes what He wills and confirms what He wills, and with Him is the mother of the book, a man might work in Allah's obedience for a while, but he reverts to the disobedience of Allah, and then he dies while misguided. And this is what Allah blots out, while what He confirms is a man who works in his disobedience, but since goodness was destined for him, he dies after reverting to the obedience of Allah, and this is what Allah confirms. And it was also reported that Sa'id ibn Jubayr said that this ayah is the meaning of another ayah where Allah states, then He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills, and Allah is able to do all things. So this is the explanation of that verse. And we just covered a lot of information, so I'm sure that there are some questions. And with Sister Leila's permission, we will answer this question, inshallah, because we're eating into her time again. Don't be shy, please. Let's try to, inshallah, win the time that we have and answer the questions, inshallah. Iman, did you understand this explanation since you asked for it? Yes, Michelle, it's quite a bit of information. What we summarized again from this explanation of this verse, which is referring to the subject at hand here, is that Allah has with Him al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the preserved tablet, also can be called the mother of the book. Okay? And in this book, the information does not change. Yes, Abdul, not just during Laylatul Qadr, at any time when you make dua, things can be changed. Okay? This is why Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encourages you to make dua. Make dua all the time, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in another hadith, he said that when you make dua, when you make supplication, that this supplication rises and it meets the decision as it's coming down. And they argue, or they, struggle with each other in the sky, okay? And there are times when your dua will overcome the decision. Allah has mercy on you. He takes mercy on you. And so the decision that He had made is either changed or it is softened. Yes, you make dua all the time. This is something which is not part of Laylatul Qadr at all. Laylatul Qadr means that the decisions have come down. So Allah, every year in Laylatul Qadr, Allah, in Ramadan, Allah sends down the decisions for that year. Okay? So again, the decisions can be changed, as we've just mentioned. If you make dua, if you are good to your family, and you keep the ties of kinship, if you worship Allah exceedingly and please Him, all of these things have an effect. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So all of these things now, they have an effect on this decision that Allah has brought down every year. Okay? But what we have to understand, okay, and the kind of the summary point here is no matter what decision is made and how it is changed, whether for good or for bad, no matter what happens, this is all recorded in the preserved tablet. Okay? So Allah writes that He sent down this decision on Laylatul Qadr for something to happen to you 5 months later. And because you worshipped Him exceedingly well, and you had been far from your parents, but now you got close to them, and you started serving them, and loving them for the sake of Allah, and serving them for the sake of Allah, then this, all of this comes, and it can change that decision. Okay, even though it's much later. But all of this has been written down in the book. It was written down that the decision would come, and that you would do that, and that the decision would change, and this would come to you. Okay? So this is kind of the summary point. This is, and I know we're trying to get into the concept of here, of trying to understand one versus the other. And if I might add, that the importance of this matter here, you know, what we really need to take away from this, other than understanding that, yes, make dua, and yes, worship. This is one of the ways that Allah, Azza wa Jal, He shows an immediate response, okay? You have a way of gauging the responses with Allah immediately, okay? I guarantee you right now, if you disobey Allah as a Muslim, if you're a good Muslim and you're trying to practice this deen, and all of a sudden you turn and you start disobeying Allah, you're going to see a result in your life. You're going to see the provision taken away from you initially. You're going to see more calamities in your life. And this is why we understand that sometimes we ask, what's going on? Why did this happen? Well, we think that. And this is, of course, not a good thing to keep in your mind. But we start to think that. We have to understand, well, you got to look back. Did I disobey Allah recently? Did I do something? Am I mistaken? This is one of the, almost one of the, kind of the cause and effect we have to understand from this, okay? Cause and effect. That there is a almost immediate here cause and effect as is related to the decision and your activities, whether righteousness or disobedience. There is a cause and effect, okay? And the second aspect here, which is very critical, is what the Prophet ﷺ said, that your iman will not be perfect, okay, until you understand something very important, that which was written for you would have never missed you, that which was written in the preserved tablets would have never missed you, and that which missed you would never have hit you. So we have to keep this faith, so we cannot be the people of only if. Only if. No, there's no only if in Islam. There is alhamdulillah, followed either by gratitude or patience. Yes, and Zahra, the other meaning of what is meant by all the good is from Allah and the evil is from us, is that even though Allah decrees some things which we might see them as evil, nothing that is decreed by Allah is purely evil. In fact, some things which we see as evil, in fact, they have a good outcome for us. Okay? So one might see that he lost his job, and he asked Allah, why did you decree for me, O Allah, that I lose my job? But this decree, okay, may have been the cause for him to open his eyes to a new opportunity, which might in the future bring him closer to Allah. So we look at it as a disaster. But Allah sees in the future that it's going to lead to our improvement, to our betterment, and these kind of things. So that's why we have to understand. We say, Alhamdulillah. No matter what happens, Alhamdulillah. And again, Alhamdulillah is followed by patience, if it's a difficulty. And Alhamdulillah is followed by thankfulness and gratitude, if it is a blessing. But either case, it's Alhamdulillah. This is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ where he says that the situation of the believer is always good, or the outlook of the believer is always good. If something bad happens to him, he says Alhamdulillah and he's patient. And if something good happens to him, he says Alhamdulillah and he's thankful. So these are the very important takeaway points, the take-home points we have to understand from this subject here. So now, inshallah, any questions to clarify any points, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. وإياكم والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. This is from Allah's blessing. الحمد لله. So inshallah, anybody, Michelle, Iman, Aisha, some of the people that they had some questions. Did you guys, were we able to answer these questions? Were we able to make this clear? وإياكم. قوي. Any questions, inshallah? Did you follow? Were you able to understand everything, inshallah? Okay, so inshallah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to recommend, inshallah, I think someone had written down that they're going to try to review the lecture. For those people that maybe learn better by reading, as I said, inshallah, please look this weekend for the written version of this subject, where inshallah, I'm going to try to summarize a longer text version here. Of this entire subject, inshallah. So we're going to discuss the importance of understanding of qadr and al-qada. We're going to understand the differences between them. We're going to understand the relationship between them. Understand a lot of the different aspects about the benefits that we can have from the belief in this subject. So I strongly, inshallah, recommend that you try to take a look at the article. Get back to me, inshallah, on the article if you have questions. Or something you didn't understand. I hope, inshallah, it will be written in a good way that everybody will be able to follow it and understand it well. And inshallah, should hopefully answer some of the other questions that that some people might have, or clarify it for those people that didn't get too much clarification today. Inshallah, I'll try, you know, with Sister Leah's permission, to try to generate a small quiz for this class. That way we can you can test yourself, inshallah, and hopefully gain even a sharper understanding, inshallah. The article, inshallah, it will be available this weekend, inshallah. Not available quite yet. It will be available this weekend. So So please, Layla, how do you post these articles? Okay, inshallah. So look under that. Is it posted under authors, or is it posted just in general in a big pile? Sister Layla, are the articles posted under author, or are they posted all of them in general or by subject? Okay, inshallah. I will send an email, inshallah, to you, Sister Layla, and with this information probably sometime either Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning with this information, inshallah, at the latest. And so that way everybody has a chance to look at it. And I look forward again, as I said, to your comments and to your criticisms concerning some of these points, if the article is beneficial for you or if it's not beneficial, that way I can try to improve my gathering style and writing style for the articles, and so we all benefit, inshallah. Again, I appreciate your attention and your time that you spent with me today. May Allah make it for us to be in the scale of our good deeds, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, as we stayed here and we praised him and we remembered him and we tried to better understand his religion. And I ask that Allah bless us with it, inshallah, and guide us further to the truth and to make us from the people of Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. By Allah's mercy alone do we ask this. And may Allah bless you again for your attention and for your desire to seek knowledge, and be patient in that regard. Jazakum Allah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. سبحان الله وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك